Everyone, and welcome to Minute 15 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick, Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today in order to help finish off the week is David Brook of Blueprint Review. Welcome back, David.
Excellent, excellent. Yep, last one for me. Plenty more left for you. It's still quite early on the movie, aren't we?
I'm not in any rush. You think I was in a rush? Is that what it sounds?
Never.
You know, it's going through one and then moving on to the next one afterwards. You know, it's like...
true.
You know, from that perspective, I'm not concerned. Not at all. All right, so minute 15 begins with Jane finishing her thought and ends with Lambert having a clue. So we ended things off yesterday. John shows up at 1PP, and you know he's back with his unit, and they're trying to figure things out and stuff like that. Yesterday's episode and today's episode are both connected with Jane's comment where she goes, "Nothing wrong with him, the shower wouldn't cure." And then she looks at John and goes, "Beer is normally taken internally, John." And he looks at her and says, "Just give me some aspirin, will you?" So are you familiar with what aspirin is?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Painkiller. And also blood thinner.
Yeah, correct. It's used for many different. So it is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug used to reduce pain, fever, and inflammation. And it treats... many different type of ailments, including like heart attacks, ischemic strokes, blood clots, things like that, which is why there are some people that need to basically take an aspirin every day in order to keep things
ticking.
Keep things ticking. There you go. Okay, that makes sense. It quite often can cause an upset stomach for people. You know, if you take too much, you can get an ulcer or stomach bleeding or things like that.
Yeah, so that's one of me. I must say, well, not stomach bleeding, but yeah, it does upset my stomach. I tend to go for ibuprofen or something like that. But if I ever need pain relief, I'm not a big aspirin guy.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. it's something that you don't need a prescription for. You know, it's something that you can just buy over the counter without any problems, and it is largely used to lower fever, pain, rheumatic fever, different types of inflammatory conditions like rheumatoid arthritis. You know, and the whole idea is to try to you know, lessen the effects of these various diseases. There has even been a connection to the fact that it's very possible that aspirin can reduce the outbreak of colorectal cancer, but they're still, you know, doing their due diligence, trying to you know, research this, because no one can explain why that works. They just know that it does, based on the results that they get. You know, but I think the why is an important thing also. So, yeah, John just asked for some aspirins. And it's pretty funny because, you know, when right before he got to Harlem, he had also taken a few aspirins. And I think you usually have to wait like a few hours in between. You know, I don't think it's something you can take one after the other.
Yeah,
like,
he's supposed to.
Little pieces of candy. You know, just give me another one. I'll just... And then she says, "All right, okay, hold this here." And she gives him like a rag that he's supposed to continue holding on the wound on his on his forehead. Cobb introduces Schiller and says, "John, this is Fred Schiller." And he's a, John looks at him and goes, "A shrink. Yeah, I got it." And then Schiller says, "I was saying that we're dealing with a megalomaniacal personality with possible paranoid schizophrenia." And then John turns him and goes, hey, how about just skip down to the part where you tell me what the f*** this has to do with me? Because I don't know. I mean, what I do know is that it does specifically have to do with you. This guy wants to pound on you till you crumble. He wants you to dance to his tune and then put on a dress and f*** me. I was going to say kill you. And then we hear in the background Lambert scream, pick up five, God damn it. And then Schiller continues by saying he's sitting on an awful lot of rage. And it could be manifested physically if he's stressed. And then Cobb turns to Schiller and goes, somebody who arrested, somebody pissed off. And then Lambert gets his say in there and he goes, that could be one hell of a long list. And John looks at him and goes, F you, Joe. And then Schiller continues to go, see, these people don't like to work anonymously. They want you to know who's doing it to you. So the name of Simon is probably not an alias. It's probably Simon or some variation. And Lambert opens up a file and says, Simon, Robert E., busted in. And that's pretty much how they end it with this this minute. I mean, this is an interesting minute because you know, it's, on one hand, it's giving us all of the psychological mumbo jumbo jargon, you know, from Schiller that we're not supposed to have any understanding as to what he's really saying. You know, makes me always wonder if actors, you know, when they get a role like this and they have to spew this type of dialogue out, you know, do they look it up to make it seem as if they're a little more intelligent than they are perceived as being.
Probably depends on the actor, I guess. There'll be plenty who will kind of go the extra mile, but I'm sure there's also others who who are just a bit more jaded and just show up and read the lines. Depends on the role, depends on the actor.
Right. Okay, that's true. Right.
If he's Daniel
You know,
Day-Lewis,
it just makes you wonder.
it's someone like Daniel Day-Lewis,
It was Daniel
he'd probably
Day-Lewis.
have like a
Oh, for
year
sure.
in working in a psychiatric hospital or something like that before his three lines were in there.
Yeah, there are enough actors who have done things like that, you know, where they can't find them, and they eventually figure out that they went to go, you know, put themselves in the real situation where they can learn what it is that they were doing,
Method.
what their character does, things like that. You know, so yeah, that is definitely. I think that's a method is an understatement by using that phrase here. There's no question about it. But like I said, I like the fact that they're giving us all of this jargon. And you know we get the quips from Joe and John throughout it, you know, to sort of lessen the impact, I guess you can say, of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's keeping it light, keeping it from being a kind of exposition dump or anything like that. And yeah, definitely. And also reminding you of what their characters are like, how they react to these types of situations, in as I mentioned in the last episode, kind of in contrast to the kind of nerdier kind of like intellectuals. Yeah, it's helping draw the characters really.
Right. I mean, but see, when I look at this, to me, what's really strange is that, you know, where does Schiller know all this stuff? All he knows is there was a bomb this morning. There's a guy who calls up, claims that he's the one who set off the bomb. He wants John McClane to do something crazy, so that's why he can go to something crazy so that he doesn't blow up anything else. You know, so it's a very far stretch to say that this is a guy who wants to pound on him and really wants to cause problems for him. I mean, obviously, yes, he is the one who said that, you know, let's put him somewhere where he could potentially get killed. Okay, I'm not saying that Simon is completely innocent here in what he's trying to do, but had you know, Schiller is able to make this diagnosis pretty easily.
Analyzing his speech patterns or something, maybe, but I don't know. Seem a bit much, perhaps.
Yes, I don't know. I always have trouble with this scene, trying to wonder what am I supposed to believe is real? You know, do I believe that Schiller really knows what's going on, and that you know when he calls him a paranoid schizophrenic who has a megalomaniacal personality? So like, where is he getting all this from? Because the guy likes calling up and you know and singing nursery rhymes.
Well, maybe it's just here.
Something.
Maybe it's just here to poke fun, as I say, to get McClane and blah, 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 Lambert, yeah, to kind of just
Lambert.
tease that style of policing. Maybe it's just poking fun at that, because I guess that was becoming more common in those days anyway. To kind of, well, probably earlier than that, really. But looking at psychoanalysis rather than just going out and catching the bad guys. So maybe it's more of a, just a fun poking sort of sequence, because you don't get much more of that, really. I'm trying to think. Does he show up much later? I'm trying to remember now.
He's quite often in the background. He doesn't really have much to add. Every so often he has something to add, but not so much. I mean, I think next week after we have more for him to say.
Yeah. Although I guess towards the end of this scene, he is kind of trying to push us in the right direction. So I guess he does have his use, even if he's kind of has the piss taken out of him quite a bit by the other characters.
Right. But again, it all comes to the fact of they're trying to show a contrast here.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, between the comedic aspects of John and Lambert, who are joking about everything, and this very serious, shrink. Who you would think that at some point John would have known who this guy is.
Yeah. You thought he'd be regular.
That's right. We're just going to bring some random guy off the street and he's going to give us some analysis. Mm. You know, excuse me, do you have a PhD in psychology? We need to borrow you for 5 minutes to explain to some cops, what a paranoid schizophrenic is. You know, things like that. It's just a very strange way to do this.
Yeah. It seems strange to have brought him in already when there's so few details. Yeah.
Correct. So, and I mean, it's interesting that John wants to know, why does John need to ask Schiller, is it connected to me? Duh. It's not as if they just said, okay, let's pick some random guy and tell him that we're going to put you on the street corner in Harlem with a sign saying, I hate and therefore, just a random guy. Pick a name out of a hat or whatever it is. So it's just an interesting way to ask that question, because it's obvious to John and to the audience that's specifically the issue here. You know, it is because he's John McClane. You know, we'll have to wait a while to find out who John McClane pissed off, or why, or how John McClane pissed off this Simon Says. I don't know. Schiller keeps his cool while he's talking, you know, saying that, okay, he's just going to kill you. You know, he's very unemotional here. Or you can even say he seems emotionally distant to everything that's going on. So I don't know. And again, to say, just nitpicking at the things that he says, he goes, he's sitting in an awful lot of rage. How do you know that?
Yeah.
He spoke completely calmly. Oh, this guy must be full of rage because he's just being so quiet. I don't know.
Very odd.
I don't have an answer to you for that, but I don't know. It's quite odd. So yeah, that's all I have for this minute.
No, not really. I guess it's a continuation from the last one. Really, it doesn't throw much new in there.
Okay, so the script goes into some more stuff here. So Cobb says, "You getting anywhere?" And then, "Come on, John, think. It's not somebody I busted, Arthur. An ordinary name. I'd remember it. We're up the wrong tree anyway. He's not going to use his real name." And then a man in the corner says, "I disagree, Lieutenant." McClane turns. In the corner is a man in his 40s, smoking a pipe. "Who are you?" "Fred Chilling, John. Fred does a lot of psychiatric criminal evaluations at Bellevue. I asked him to be here." "What's your opinion, Doctor?" Chilling puffs his pipe. Any understanding of this character starts necessarily with an understanding of megalomania. It's a sickness, a pathological condition, which fantasies of control or omnipotence predominates. And McClane looks at him and says, "Speak English, please." "He wants control over you. Every move you make, your thoughts, your emotions. Megalomaniacs don't operate anonymously. They need to know that you know who they are." He puffs on his pipe. "I can virtually guarantee this man's name is Simon, or is possibly some variation on it." Lambert says, "Doesn't have to be his first name. I've got a Robert E. Simons right here. You busted him in," and then that's how it gets cut off. I think it comes across much better.
I think in general, like going through, I should have mentioned this earlier, really. I think in generally, it doesn't veer wildly away from the script. You can tell, like, Tiernan has added a lot of nice little touches and just subtle changes that just make it a bit more interesting, make it a bit more cinematic. You can kind of see his see how the director's making a difference, really. Right. It's nice. Oh, to for compare. Sure.
I love to compare them. You know, because you find the little things here and there, even just the way they word things and how it's changed on the spot.
Yeah.
So I like that. Okay, so Friday's segment is known as Name That Movie.
Okay.
So are you familiar with the original title of this movie?
Simon Says.
That is correct. Created a list of over 150 movies that had different names originally. Before they were released. Okay. And when they're released, they have what are known as working titles, right? So I have a whole bunch of them. Some of them are fake working titles that never really were there just to use the term. But most of them are the names that either the original scripts of movies or somewhere along the line, you know, this is what it was. So basically, I chose five movies for you.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'll tell you the old name of the movie and what year it came out. And I want you to try and guess what movie it really is.
Okay.
Now you can ask for help. If you don't know based on that first clue, I can give you the name of the director or I can give you the name of one of the actors.
Oh, okay.
In the movie, you know, to try and help you with it. Cause some of them aren't as easy as you might think because, you know, there are obvious reasons of why they changed the name of the movie. It didn't necessarily work. So for your first one is from 1995, the movie Wind Up Heroes.
Oh.
Any idea what movie that is?
Oh, no. Was that before? It's not Small Soldiers, is it?
Nope.
Okay, Small Soldiers came out in 98.
I think it came out in 98.
95, Wind Up Heroes. It's not Toy Soldiers, is it?
Nope.
Oh, I'll give us a clue.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what clue would give it away completely. It's one that any clue I give here, you'll
probably get it. Oh, it's not Toy Story.
So Yes, it is. I was going to say the director's John Lasseter. I don't know if that would help.
It would've done.
And if I were to tell you stars, I'd say Tom Hanks, Tim Allen. I don't know. Okay, next one. From 2006. The movie Red Sun, Black Sand.
Oh, I have no idea. Clue.
Okay. I mean, this one, unfortunately, there is an actor that I can give you. I can give you a name for. I know I was thinking to myself that you know, most of the actors are unknown actors in this movie. So.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, I don't know, like, any... All right, this is probably going to give away anyway, Ken Watanabe.
Ooh, okay. He's been in loads of films. Try to take 2006.
In 2006.
Yeah, I'm rubbish with years, though.
okay, all right.
No, I really don't know. I don't know.
So the director is Clint Eastwood.
Ooh, Clint Eastwood. Oh, Iwo Jima? I've never been able to announce it.
Right. Letters from
Iwo Jima.
Letters from Iwo Jima. Yes. Very good. Okay. 1988. House Ghosts.
High Spirits? That was after that, I think.
High Spirits was I think.
Before, I know.
Maybe it around that time, but it's not High Spirits.
House Ghosts. Wouldn't be Ghostbusters. That would be House Ghosts. I think were the ghost movies around there. Oh, I'll need a clue. No.
Okay, what do you want? Do you want the director or you want one of the actors?
I'll go for one of the actors.
One of the actors. Let's go with Winona Ryder.
Oh, Beetlejuice.
Very good.
Could have guessed that one.
Okay. 1972, The Mafia.
Godfather?
Yep. All right, that was great. And now the final one. The movie Paradox from 1985.
Oh, I'll need a clue for this one. I have no idea for this one. I'll go for actor again.
Okay, Crispin Glover.
Oh, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Oh, Paradox. I didn't realize that.
Yep. That was one of the... later in the season, we'll hear some of the other names for, you know, the other options of names for Back to the Future.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. I mean, there are two that I found. Okay. So this one was a little more obscure than the other one. So I was like, all right, I'll use this one for, for you, because I also mentioned earlier this week how much of a fan you are of Back to the Future. So.
I've watched the special features as well, but it's been a while, so I'm just totally forgotten. I've been watching this.
Okay, but like I said, some of these could have just been production titles in order to, you know, I don't take this in it's not ingrained in stone that this is the title of each of the movies. At some point, someone used this as the title for the movie, you know, whether it was to keep paparazzi away or you know, that was the original title.
Yeah, they used to always do that with the Star Wars ones. It's quite a common one to keep people from spoiling.
One in particular that they did, yes.
The sequels,
I
at least.
I don't remember if they had fake names for Empire, but Jedi they had a fake name for, which we'll definitely talk about Jedi, in a few weeks. Yeah. We'll see if my guest actually will be able to know.
I won't give it away.
All right, great. So, David, would you like for one last time this season to once again tell people where they can find David Burke?
Yeah, you can find me at blueprintreview.co.uk, where I post my film reviews and also the film reviews of the site's fellow contributors. And we also are hosting a new Blueprint Review podcast. Also, you can find me on Facebook. I am on some other social media, but I don't use it as often. But yeah, if you look up David Brooke on Facebook, I'm always up for fellow film lovers to follow. And
especially on Oscar night. So, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Just so people know, David and I text each other during the Oscars.
Yeah. No, it's because of the time difference of both of us. It's nice to have someone to keep us awake.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com, or you can send me an email if you want to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, David, thank you very much for joining me this week. And once again, thank you for the intro and outro music.
No problem. It's a pleasure. And I always like an excuse to get on the piano and do a bit of singing. So, yeah, anytime.
There you go. Excellent. All right. So I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout. The ladies, they will all turn out. And we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.